flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here at the Atlanta United Training Ground in Marietta. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, all good up here at Marietta. Warm because we're inside.
It's nice to be
inside.
Yeah,
it's nice to be inside and everything. But yeah, it's always a good time when we get to come up and hang out with the Atlanta United. Got to see Brad Guzan already and a couple other folks. So obviously it's their time.
It's on.
I didn't realize that. They had a game Saturday?
Yeah.
Which is like
yeah,
2 days?
The preseason game on Saturday.
On Saturday and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously we get to talk to the – what is his title?
President.
President,
yeah.
GM.
El Presidente.
El Presidente.
CEO.
Yeah, we get the chance to talk to him. And hopefully – I'm thinking about asking – you know, of course, we're going to ask him questions like, is Miggy coming?
Yeah, when's Miggy getting
when's
here?
When's Miggy getting here?
Yeah, because yeah. Gart Lagerwey knows. I mean, he's
he knows.
He's
he knows.
The man that makes these choices.
Yeah. When's Miggy coming?
We have to ask him about that.
Yeah.
And the other big name guy, too, the striker that they're supposed to get. Hopefully they get him in here also.
Yeah, but
it'd be really helpful to have those guys.
We're running out of time.
Yeah, come on.
We're running out of time, dog. Yeah. We got to get fit and all that other stuff and get acclimated with your teammates and everything,
yeah.
dog. It's
get
about
the
that
chemistry.
Time.
A lot of new faces, and we'll obviously ask him about that. One of the things I want to ask him about is, like, because it's coaching carousel season in the NFL,
right?
Doesn't that seem so much easier than hiring a manager in soccer?
Yes.
Like, all you got to do in the NFL is like, all right, who's the hot coordinator?
Yes.
What team's in the championship? We just want their guy. We'll hire him, whatever. Like, you don't have to go that far. These guys, he hired a guy from Norway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
His last job was in Abu Dhabi. How do you find these people?
How do you find these guys, and how do you get him to convince him to come to Atlanta?
Right.
You know what I mean? But,
you got to cast a real wide net. NFL guys have it easy. It's like, all right, Raheem, he used to work here. Just get him in here. We'll hire him.
Right.
Like, these guys are hiring people from everywhere.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man. But it's amazing how wide the soccer net is.
Though. It is.
It really is,
net.
Man. It's a wide net because, like you said, this guy was in Abu Dhabi, Norway.
Everywhere.
I mean, damn. I mean,
he was in Scotland.
We know when Darren Ills was here, it was like, damn, he all the way in South America.
He was in New York City.
This dude got plugs everywhere.
Yeah, you got to have
coaching plugs. You got to have coaching and player plugs in soccer.
That's one thing about Gart Lagerwey. A lot of plugs.
Pluggy.
Yeah, he's a plug guy.
Pluggy.
That's his real title. He's the president. He's the CEO. He's the plug guy. He's the plug.
He's got
everything
That's
taken care
does.
Of. Anyway, we'll talk to him coming up at 12:20 as we broadcast live from the Atlanta United training ground. As again, season's right around the corner. We've got a handful of preseason matches, one on Saturday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then they get up and rolling. There's no season longer than an MLS season. And I know there's a lot of breaks in it and all that kind of stuff for international games, but, like, it seems like the playoffs just ended. We were up here talking about that kind of magical run that they were going on.
Because we were.
We were. Because we were. And
now
it's not even the end of January, and we're back here, and they're getting ready for another season. So we'll look forward to that conversation in the noon hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us in the 1 o'clock hour as well. I would imagine a very happy coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Smoke and Joe Patrick, now that his Ohio State Buckeyes have won the national championship.
Yeah, man. I mean, Joe is I said this on Monday or Tuesday after the game, his updates, he was so professional. It didn't sound hungover or nothing. So I'm going to have to ask him about that. Were you – because he seems like
– Maybe he's doing dry January.
He seems like he's a very, very nervous TV watcher.
He does.
Yeah, he's a very, very.
It seems like if
things
are going bad, he moves spots in the living room.
Yes, changes shirts and shorts and everything. Yeah.
Switch from couch to chair, whatever it is.
Yeah, he seems like a thing. Guy.
I think so. Yeah. We'll also talk Falcons with him as well because we haven't talked to him since the Falcons made their hire. Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator.
And you remember we had a caller yesterday, and we talked about Marquand, and he was and he was listing off, you know, how the defense was ranked and everything. And I was like, I thought about this morning. Yeah. Who did he have?
He had players. Yeah.
He had two young bulls in the middle of the defense. Uh-huh. Grady was a top seven defensive tackle.
Yeah, young, good. I mean, Grady's still good, but I mean, young in his prime Grady.
Hell, the Tack McKinley had 7.5 sacks. Yeah, that would have led this team.
It would have.
I thought Keanu Neal was going to be a star safety in this league. Then the injuries got to him. Yeah. So he had dudes. That's why
he had healthy
coming.
Keanu Neal. That's, he had Deion Jones. He had Devondre Campbell. Yeah. That Dontari Poe was
right next to Grady. That's why we keep coming back to the same thing. It's not about scheme. Scheme has something to do with it.
Sure.
The name has something to do with the dude who's calling defense. But ultimately, it comes down to who's on the damn football field.
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. He was a defensive coordinator in 17 and 18.
Right.
They ran the same scheme
because
it was the same head coach.
Right.
They ran the same scheme when they got rid of him because it was the same coach.
Yes.
It was just different coordinators running the same thing.
Yes.
It was different players.
Yes.
Because 17 was the one year where they had, like, hit on some picks. They had hit on, obviously, Deion Jones and some of those guys were really in the front. But it was before, it was like that perfect little sweet spot of they hit on picks. The free agents that they signed were pretty good, and guys were healthy.
Yes.
The next year, 18,
everybody got hurt.
Everybody got hurt. It was the most hurt defense that I can remember, not his fault. And then again, I don't really know what happened with him. You know, we were talking about it yesterday with Marquand Manuel, got some texts from various people. Something happened. We don't know what, whatever. Sounds like the relationship's not good, so probably not going to be back.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
They had health and they had talent.
Yes.
And that's why they were a top 10 defense.
Exactly. And so that's what we talk about. You got to figure out a way to do that. And you know, it's to me, you hear people talk about the hiring of Jeff. Yeah, it's a safe hire. Yeah, it is. It's not much flair to it because we know him. Rod's familiar with them, and that's why I said on Tuesday when we came in, I was like, if I'm going down, I'm going down with people I want to be with because far more than anything, if you bring in an outsider, that's usually the downfall when you bring in an outsider, coordinator, whatever. So you go with somebody you're comfortable with who knows you, who knows what you want out of your defense, and you move on.
Yeah, with my job on the line.
With my job on the line?
It is.
Like, oh, no doubt.
Be very clear about, like, if there's another year in 2025, like it was in 2024 for the Falcons, everybody's gone.
Yes.
The front office, coaching staff, everybody's out of here. So the last thing I can do is bring in, you know, and I get the people talking about wanting to bring in, I don't know, like a different type of voice, I suppose, just because things haven't gone well with these voices. A veteran defensive coordinator, you know certain names that they had interviewed and all that kind of stuff. The last thing I want is I'm like halfway through September and me and this guy have a different vision.
Yes.
It's like, all right, damn, I thought we were going to get this ironed out. We aren't.
Yes.
Like, this isn't going great.
Yes.
My ass is on the line.
Yes.
And this relationship sucks.
Yes.
I can't fire him because then I look like an idiot.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, at the very least, you got a guy who you know you can work with. Look, Ulbrich's been a good defensive coordinator.
Yes.
He's had good defenses.
Yes.
He had good defenses in New York the last couple of years.
Yes.
Things didn't work out in New York for other reasons. They gave all the control to a crazy-ass 40-year-old quarterback coming off a damn Achilles injury.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, don't do that here. I mean, I guess they – old quarterback with the Achilles injury. It wasn't crazy, though. You know?
And he didn't have no power.
At least Kirk Cousins wasn't going on Pat McAfee once a week talking about darkness retreats.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Yeah, man.
So look on the bright side.
I'm on it.
Point
the bright
intended.
Side. Point
okay. While you're on the bright side, see if you could come all the way with me on this one.
All right.
Was thinking about this driving in. This all might be too optimistic.
Okay.
But I was just thinking, because we do this, unfortunately, every single year we've done it for a million years in a row because the Falcons haven't been in championship weekend. And the question is, like, of the four teams, which one are they closest to? What can they do to sort of build themselves that way? How far away do you feel like the Falcons are? The Falcons beat the Eagles.
Yes.
And had the Commanders in overtime.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Those are the two teams in the NFC Championship game.
Correct.
Like, does that make it seem like they're less, like, a little bit closer than they have been?
Yes.
Or is it just any given Sunday they played good against those guys?
I'll be optimistic because of the quarterback position.
Okay.
For the Falcons. I'll be optimistic for the offense that they have, that they're going to put back out there, because you look at these guys growing together. And then you look at Zach Robinson getting another year better as an offensive coordinator. And then you look at it from a standpoint of what you just said. They did beat the Eagles. Now, if Saquon catches the ball, sure. We understand all the things that goes with that. If they tackle Jaden Daniels.
If Raheem calls some timeouts, they might have
beat the Commanders. Exactly. And so I think when you look at the closeness to both of these teams, I don't think they're that much – I don't think that Washington is that much better than the Falcons.
Right.
I think the Eagles are. But I don't think the – you know what I mean?
I think the Eagles are also that much better. That was week two,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The Eagles got so much better as the season went on.
Yes, yes. And so I could say that about that because I think – and I'll still co-sign it, retweet, whatever you want to say. Washington is all Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say they're not a good football team because they're in the NFC damn championship game. I'm not going to minimize that. But he can't struggle. Not like most quarterbacks, but like if Jalen Hurts struggles, they can still win the game because they got damn Saquon Barkley.
Right.
But
right.
If Jalen plays bad, that wipes out everything for the entire team.
Jalen plays bad, they might lose by three touchdowns.
Jaden, I'm sorry. Yes, exactly.
Because there is a Jalen Daniels.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm just saying, like,
and everyone's name is Jalen.
When you look at like this dude is the heartbeat of the football team, and he's got them believing in all these different things. But this game could easily be a damn blowout on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. If they have a really good answer for him, which they may, because they've got really good talented players on their defense.
He threw five touchdowns against their ass.
That's true.
He threw five touchdowns.
If Devontae Smith catches that ball against
them, Devontae Smith catches the ball, and if Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt in the game.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's
because the Eagles were up huge in that game.
Yeah.
Saquon went off twice against them, 150 and two touchdowns both times. I don't know, there's just so many interesting – obviously, they played against each other twice this year because they're in the same division. But then there's also, like, there's all kinds of ties from college and stuff like that. Remember, Jalen Carter lifted up Jaden Daniels in the SEC championship game like a damn trophy.
He lifted up Stafford last weekend.
I was like, oh, does he just do this to the guys?
Yeah.
Like, or maybe it's just guys he likes because it's better than getting landed on.
Yeah.
I'd rather Jalen Carter pick me up and treat me like a trophy in front of everybody as opposed to pile drive me into the turf and land on me.
Yeah, man, because that like it would hurt.
It does look like
you know,
it.
And
like
obviously we'll talk more about these games tomorrow because they're two interesting matchups and everything. But, yeah, I mean, I think where the Falcons are, you know, I'm not going to go into that trying to sell you a vision about this football team because that would be unfair to you and myself.
Right.
Because
I'm not really there either.
No.
I just was thinking about it. I was like, oh yeah, you know what? Like they played both of these teams tough this year, beat the Eagles, could have beat the Commanders.
Yep.
You know, what does that really mean? What it means to me is, and this has been true of the team, certainly this past year, they were in every game.
Yeah.
Like and pretty much, except for at the end when Kirk Cousins stopped playing well and they got blown out a couple times.
Right.
But like when he was playing well, even games they won. They were all close games, and they're all one-score games.
Yeah.
You had to do something good at the end or not. Maybe you didn't make a play and you lost the game. But, yeah, I still do believe this. Like, if he doesn't fall off a cliff, the Falcons would have made the playoffs.
I agree.
Now, would they still be playing? Probably not.
Yes.
Probably not, but who knows? Like, they might be better than Washington at that point. So, yeah, what you said about the quarterback position hopefully being taken care of now, if Penix can play, you know, up to a certain standard, then maybe they are a little closer than it feels like. Because everything just ended so badly.
Right.
You know, like you go 2-6 or 2-6 in your final eight games. Season ends with a real bad taste in your mouth and then you get blown out, or not blown out, but you give up 44 to the Panthers and all that stuff. Yeah, no, I don't know. Hopefully they're closer than it feels, but I don't know if they are or not. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while since they've been in the playoffs. All right, this hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. We'll come back and we'll get into what's trending. The Hawks played last night, sort of. I mean, they played. They didn't play great. We'll talk about that and everything else that's going on here on a Thursday morning as we broadcast live from the Atlanta United training ground on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, your final score from Atlanta on a night where the Hawks shot 6 of 38 on three-pointers. Bam. 38% overall, 39 of 103. Final score, Pistons 114, and the Hawks 104.
We prepared, we went through our preparation, and we weren't focused like we needed to be. I thought from a defensive standpoint early in the game, particularly our transition defense, there was just a lot of runouts where we weren't communicating, and then not being able to make a shot, you know, that always exacerbates things. Yeah.
Well, it also helps them get out and run too.
Right.
When you're clanging 35 threes, long rebounds, outlet, layup. There was a lot of layups last night for the Detroit Pistons. And a 114-104 final score is not really indicative of the way the thing went.
Dude, they
pretty well had a 20-point lead the whole game.
They shot like the weather outside.
Yes.
Freezing
they
cold.
They were ice cold last
Goodness
night.
Goodness gracious.
They couldn't make a shot. Detroit shot very well, especially in the first half. And I think Quinn Snyder's right. I think the focus defensively was lacking. Like, they let a lot of easy buckets happen. They also let a lot of open threes happen. And, you know, credit to the Pistons. I mean, Cade Cunningham's a hell of a player.
He
had
is.
A nice game.
He
Shout
is.
Out to Malik Beasley. A little homecoming. He went off last night, 19 points off the bench for the Atlanta Kid. But, like, you know, you like to be a little bit more competitive than that in your first home game in 3.5 weeks.
You would think so,
you'd
man.
You'd think you'd be happy to be home.
You would think so, man.
But no, not so much.
No, I mean, they just got outclassed by a team that they're right there with as far as we're looking at the standings in the East. They're right there with the Pistons, and we talked about it coming in. Don't look now, but if you haven't looked, the Pistons are pretty good.
They are pretty good.
They're pretty good, and they got an all-star caliber player, Kate Cunningham, and he showed that last night. But, yeah, they just shot so bad. What was they, 1-28 between Trey and them? Like, come on, man. Who hit the other one? Because I'll tell you one thing. We need to start discussing this Bogey Bogdanovic.
You mean 0 for 9?
Yeah. But and the thing about it is, you know, shoot or shoot. He tried to shoot your way out of it.
He's shooting like 27% from three this
exactly.
year.
Exactly. And so, I mean, maybe it's because of rust in and out of the lineup. I don't know what it is.
I think he's hurt.
And that could be it because that's usually what it is with him. And so they got to figure out something to do with that. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where we talked about yesterday, the record Boston and Cleveland and the Knicks and those things. But yet the other teams like the Detroit Pistons, the Orlando Magic, the Washington Wizards, you know, they just – seem to play down to that level, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. They very much play to the level of their competition. Except last night, like, the level of their competition
with them
meant that it was a good game.
Yeah, it was them.
They got smoked by their level of competition last night. And, yeah, I mean, you have bad shooting nights. It happens. And last night was a particularly bad shooting night. They made 6 threes in total.
Six.
I think Malik Beasley had 5 himself.
That's what I'm saying. Usually you think six – for a person.
Yeah, right.
Like, the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, Garrison Matthews has had games this year where he's made more than that. Bogey will have a game where he makes more than that. Sometimes, not so much this year, like you said. Trey, like, you have guys that can play like that. But, it was pretty full-scale dismantling by the Detroit Pistons.
I mean, highlight of the game, obviously, the dunk that Jalen.
Jalen had a great dunk.
He loses it, but then, you know.
Had a bunch of dunks, but that one was particularly good.
But when Isaiah Stewart went and got it, I was like, it ain't their night.
That guy's rough.
He's rough as hell. He's rough as hell. I still don't think he wanted that fight. I think he was more trying to put on when he tried to fight LeBron.
Well, he was bleeding.
He was bleeding out the face.
He had to do something.
Yeah, hold on. He cut me.
Nobody makes me bleed my own
blood. He cuts me.
Yeah, no, he didn't care for that. No. They got a bunch of rough dudes over there. Like, Jalen Duran is a beast down low. Like, that guy's tough. Asar Thompson is going to dunk on you if you don't get out of the way. Look, I don't know. Tobias Harris seems like the right role for Tobias Harris.
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't have to do a whole lot. Not on a max contract anymore.
The biggest thing. The pressure is off of him now. And now he can just go and play basketball because he's a good player.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. And so they found the right role for him to be the fourth option, sometimes fifth, and have to go out there and live up to a contract.
And Cade Cunningham really is, I mean, he's an all-star.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's really, obviously went off for 29 last night. Got his teammates a lot of easy looks,
I wonder what this career high assist, 11 assists last night.
Defense collapse on him, one quick pass, layup. Like, it happened over and over and over again last night. So, yeah, bad performance. They're back at it tonight against the Raptors, who aren't good. So
what does that mean?
Bounce back or play down to the level of your competition. I don't know.
Drake coming? Can he come to Atlanta?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You got to check in with JD.
Well, Kendrick said every time he comes to Atlanta, he just does it to sort of like re-up on cred.
Right.
He's using Atlanta as like a cool pass.
Basically. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like every time he kind of fell off a little bit, he'd come do a feature. Somebody get a feature from somebody down here.
Okay. I'm just the thing came out. We just talking before we came on the air. Yeah. It's North Carolina releases 29 pages. Of Bill Belichick's contract. His buyout before June versus $10 million buyout after is $1 million.
And that's June 1st of this year.
Yes.
So that's kind of weird.
Yes. they're thinking like Bill might leave after June 1st?
I don't
or
know.
Something? I don't
but that
know.
Would be before he even coached a game.
Exactly.
Right? June 1st, 2025.
Yes.
You don't need to have coached a game by then if somebody were to buy. And again, at this point, all the NFL jobs are going.
It's
it doesn't
funny.
Seem like anybody's interested in him.
It's pretty
he's got the post-June 1. In his college coach contract.
Like a salary cap cut.
Like a middle linebacker.
like a salary cap cut or something.
Yeah.
Hey, good for you, Bill.
Yeah, I don't. It's always one of those funny things. It's like, you know, you're a public employee now, technically. So that's public record. Like your contract is public record. People are going to find it and look at it and all that kind of stuff. So I guess welcome to public service,
Way
Bill.
To go, Bill.
Good for you. What else? What else happened?
We got to talk about Georgia blowing
blew a 15-point lead to Arkansas last night.
15-point freaking lead.
Arkansas finally gets their first SEC win of the year under Coach John Calipari. Georgia had them. They had them by 15, and they slowly let the game slip away. Let's hear the way that it ended.
Short on the second. He'll get it back. Lay it in!
Yeah, sounded like they were pretty fired up.
Whatever. I mean, they looking for stuff up there now. I mean, they Arkansas. I guess the Chicken Man and they ain't coming through with the prospects that they usually have.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then they got to go to my dogs. Then they got to go to Florida this weekend. And I mean, this thing could. You've lost two straight SEC games. Now the Auburn game was outstanding. But yeah, you lose to an Arkansas team that ain't found themselves yet. Is this that catapult for them? I don't know. But then you got to go to Florida this weekend. So, I mean, before you know it, I mean, you just got back in the top 25, and now you're willing your way up out of it.
Yeah, you're out of it now.
Yeah.
You're out of it now. Some other basketball stuff just as we sort of creep towards the NBA trade deadline. The Heat are going to suspend Jimmy Butler again.
Yeah, man.
He missed a team flight. Now, you were saying they moved it.
Somebody said they moved it.
Trying to trick him?
Yeah, somebody said they moved the flight.
Yeah, man. He came back and played like crap.
Yeah,
he's not into it.
Amos Short or something. Oh, he was at a party line. And it says Swanky.
Oh, a Swanky party.
He was at a Swanky party line.
A mid-suspension. What's he supposed to do?
What's he supposed to do? Sit home and cry?
Yeah.
Jimmy don't want to be there.
He doesn't
want to
be there.
Jimmy does not want to be there. Yeah. And then you got two Bulls. And I'm sure Pat Riley, they're trying to get rid of him. But Pat's not going to take some trash for him.
Yeah, Pat's trying to get rid of him. But I think Pat also doesn't mind that this is bothering Jimmy.
Yes, because it's bothering him.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy got to put on like it ain't bothering him.
Well, yeah, when he has to play, but you see him play.
He's like, playing awful.
Jimmy's a lot better than that.
Yes, he is. He's going through the motions out there.
Yeah.
And then, because when I saw the suspension, I was like, did he suspend him for playing bad? And then I was like, oh, he missed the plane. Jimmy ain't missed no plane. Jimmy didn't want to come to the plane.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a difference between missing a flight and not making a flight.
Exactly.
He didn't make the flight.
Exactly. Jimmy was like, please. Ain't no traffic or nothing. I'm just going to sit right here on the couch.
Well, did they get weather down there? Did travel that far south or no?
Nah,
they didn't get any snow down.
Probably not. It's probably a little chilly, but not like that. But no, Jimmy didn't miss that flight. Jimmy didn't make the flight. That's exactly what happened. I ain't coming today.
Speaking of flights, we're doing a little social media sleuthing here. All right, with the help of some of our listeners.
Okay,
Miguel Almirón.
I saw the picture.
Posted a little slideshow on his Instagram. The final slide on his Instagram is a picture of him and his wife at the airport.
Uh huh.
Where are they traveling to?
They're coming to Atlanta.
That's what I think.
Yeah, he's coming to Atlanta.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's just like a lid. He's got one little bag, probably because he already has stuff here.
Yeah,
right?
No, he's coming to Atlanta. That's his carry-on.
He's already checked the bag.
Yeah, he's already checked the bag. That's his carry-on
That's a nice-looking bag.
Yeah, because not Atlanta, because there's nobody in the picture. You know, you're in Atlanta airport.
Yeah, that's not the Atlanta
airport. Yeah, that's not Atlanta airport.
You could tell very clearly that's not the Atlanta airport.
And as me and Andy say this, we're not sure that he's with it. We're having fun with it. We're just joking around with it and everything. We're not reporting anything.
It would be really cool if that does happen and if it happens today, because if you're just joining us, we are at the Atlanta United training facility as we speak. We are literally broadcasting with some Atlanta United players over our shoulders. It'd be cool if they made that announcement.
Hell yeah.
Maybe if they could do it before 12:20 when Garth Lagerwey comes on our show and we could talk to him about it.
Yeah, or he could, like, you know, break the news. You know, how gangster would that be? He pick up his Blackberry, looks at it like.
You think he's still rocking the Blackberry?
Garth?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds
I mean,
like
it feels – Blackberry, just because of, I don't know, how old I am, feels like the executive phone.
Yes.
Like when you're in charge, you have a BlackBerry.
I loved my BlackBerry.
Oh, I had a BlackJack. I had like the little small BlackBerry, but I could get my email on it.
I love
it. I thought I was such a tough guy when I could get my email on my phone.
I love my BlackBerry.
I was like, hang on, let me check. Hang on, I think I got a work email. Let me check.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, man, but you go back to...
I was 23, thinking I was tough blank.
You go back to 24, 25, you're right. I had the BlackBerry. I had the two-way, and then had the silver Sprint phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
In case anybody needed to get a hold of
it. Oh, yeah, you had all that, man. Just flipping down the two-way, looking at it. When nobody pays you, you just want to look at it. Look at it, then pick up your phone.
You never had any excuse to miss a call.
Ever in life, dog. Ever in life, I had all the – and all of them were attached to the belt.
Lily was walking around the other day. I don't even know what it is. Like, we have some sort of, like – remote control for some lights or something that are in the house. She had it clipped on her waistband. She was like, this is for my work. And I was like, what's your job?
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. I was like, oh, okay. What work are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. How about help us with some bills
around here? Exactly. All right. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. All right. You know college football's over. When this stuff comes back, it's the return of the midday grab bag of questions.
Yeah.
Abe's back.
The grab bag with the answers on it, with the questions.
We do have the questions on it. That's true. It's all right. As it goes, the more we get to, the worse they are. So if we get to one of them, it means Abe came up with a really good topic. If we get to seven of them, it means they were all crap. Let's find out together next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, we do. We got it all covered. We're here. Atlanta United Training Ground. Midday show with Andy and Randy. It's still Trillville Thursday, too, by the way. Okay?
Yeah, man.
In case anybody forgot.
Just throw a little Albie in there.
That, too. The all-encompassing Thursday here on the show. We got a little more info from the Twitterverse on this Miguel Almirón.
Okay.
People are saying, who are people? I don't know. People in the Twitterverse are saying it's in Paris, a few gates away from a flight from Paris to Atlanta. So, we got people in Paris, Randy. Paris.
Well, okay, well, all right. Until y'all somebody, because remember, oh, it was early on in the show. I forgot who they had signed. Somebody United had signed or whatever, and they used to sign or whatever. And people were like at the airport. You remember those days?
Yeah, I think it was Pity.
Was it Pity?
Was it Pity Martinez?
It might have been Pity. Yeah. Everybody was like, "Oh, they." I was like,
"They're at the airport to greet him."
Yes, I was like, "Oh, okay, it is big." But I got a question for you because you know I'm an old man. I ain't an old man, but I'm old school with my humor and everything like that. And so people are just keep tweeting me the pivot thing, right?
Yeah.
And so they're laughing. Oh, Randy catching strays. Isaiah called me yesterday, chuckling. It was so funny, dog. And he said, "You see what Chance?" I was like, "Yeah." But I'm trying to figure out what's so damn. I mean, it's funny, but like, am I catching strays?
I don't think you're catching strays. Like that. I think that's the incorrect use of.
Yeah,
that
I don't
term.
Understand. They're like, "Oh, Randy Channing got you in the shenanigans." Y'all do realize there's a whole football team in there.
Now he did. Not have to say your name. Like, yeah, it was absolute. No, he didn't.
It was definitely. It was definitely an unnecessary.
Yes, it was. No. He had to.
Everything about that story would have been the exact. Because you weren't mentioned again.
Yeah.
In the whole thing.
Again, y'all don't know Channing. Channing had to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I know Channing. There was no way Channing was going to tell that story. Without putting me in it.
All I'm saying is he didn't put you in the story.
Right.
All he did was say your name
exactly.
And tell the story without saying anything that you had to do.
And I know. That's why I was kept saying. I was like, all he said was my name.
Right. Which to me is almost like I would be more annoyed by that.
Of course,
it's like one of your best friends. But like, it's like, tell the truth about what role I played.
Right.
All he did was just sort of like casually while – you know, he was being blamed because he's the one to be blamed.
Right.
Also, he's like, well, he should get in trouble too. It was like that.
Okay.
It was like when your mom catches you do something and you snitch on your brother as well. Ryan was there too.
Dude, I went back and listened. I said, did he say something else?
No.
I was like, all he said was, and Randy McMichael.
Exactly.
And then everybody was like, oh, he puts it. I was like, no.
Had he not, because again, he told the whole story and didn't mention your role in the story at all.
Exactly.
All he did was put your name in it,
right.
Not needing to do that
right.
at all. And then now everybody, because I got texts from people, like, oh, Randy got mentioned. This is really funny. Like, what's Randy's side of the story?
If there's
and all
no
that
side
kind
of the story,
stuff.
I told you what happened.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what and it's great because now I've been able to direct everybody to our podcast from yesterday at 12:20, where Randy tells the truth about what happened with the stripper and Nick Saban and Channing and him and all that kind of stuff. But, people hear that story and then your name is mentioned.
I was like,
oh, what did – and, you know.
I was – dude, I was –
young
like,
Randy
I
in Miami.
I was floored. I was like – I woke up this morning. It's so – I was like, what the hell's going on? I said, did something else come out? He just – I was like, oh, Randy. I was like, huh?
Nah, it's not catching strays. It's just like unnecessarily mentioned in a story – that could have been told without.
Okay, I didn't know. I was like, "What the hell is?" So? I mean, the story's funny.
It's a great story.
But I'm like, I was a part of the story.
Absolutely.
But so were 70 other people.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. I was curious.
But
okay.
He didn't mention 70 other people.
When the strippers come out, Coach Randy McMichael was
because
running
he did not
show.
Have to say it.
Because, but he said, but his thing was, he said Randy McMichael was running the show. I was running the show.
But did he say that?
Yes, he said Randy McMichael was running the show. I was running the show.
Okay. You know, all I heard him say. All I heard him say was. Randy McMichael.
Yeah, was running the show. I was running the show.
When strippers come out, Coach. Randy McMichael was running the show.
I was. Yeah, I was running the show.
But that's even worse. That makes it seem like you had something to do with it. The way that he tells it makes it seem like you had something
to do with it. I was like, damn, what the hell?
The story doesn't change if he doesn't say that.
Exactly. The story that he told, the thing that everybody's laughing about, the same part of it.
I'm raising my hand.
Randy McMichael is part of it.
Is this a big deal, though?
Do you think it's a big deal?
No.
Then no.
But people reacted to it like it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like like Nick Saban said his wife didn't know about it.
Yeah, because we made an agreement that we wouldn't say nothing.
Well, but now you said something.
Exactly. I didn't say – I never said anything. Even when I brought it up
– This is a fairly popular podcast.
Even when I brought it up years ago – on that, it was after Channing said, I've never volunteered.
Of course you're not going to tell the story.
Yeah, I'm not saying nothing.
Keep it in house.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, the story had been out there before, but that's assuming that everybody heard it the first time it was out there.
Right.
And also, he told it not in the presence of Nick Saban,
right? Yes.
This was now in the presence of Nick Saban, so it's a little bit different. And Saban said, Miss Terry doesn't know about that.
Yeah.
So, that's a big deal.
Okay. All right, this check, I'm sitting back like, huh?
It's not like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's getting divorced.
No, we know
getting
that.
Fired. No one's doing anything like that.
I was just curious, and you just seemed just more like,
What?
But I think the reaction makes it a big deal. Like, this is now a very popular. This is going to be probably their biggest thing ever that happened was when he told that story the first time, right? In terms of clicks and downloads and all that stuff. And again, that's a really popular podcast that does a lot of numbers every episode.
Right.
This is probably going to be second most biggest thing after the first time that he told it.
I'm just checking out. I was so confused. Like,
we need something like that on
Off
the
Cuff. I was like, y'all really think that's a big deal?
You got any other secrets? I know you haven't told them, but
I got plenty of them, dude.
Let's tell one on Off the Cuff. We need to run the numbers up.
I don't run. You know me, dog. I don't pillow talk. I do not pillow talk. Yeah.
God, think of how rich we'd be if you did.
I mean...
or how much more rich we'd be.
Yeah.
We're already pretty rich.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for both of us.
Yeah, we just got
to
leave.
All right, let's get to some let's get to a grab bag of questions with young Abe. Cargo pants Abe.
He got them damn cargoes on with the tucked in big old polo.
He looks like he's ready for Sunday.
Oh, my God.
He's got a match.
Why the hell are you dressed like that, man?
He's dressed great. He's nice. We're out in public. He's dressed professionally.
First off, I think I look good. One.
You do look good. You look good. You look really good.
Two.
Are they Bugle Boys?
What?
Are they Bugle Boys?
I don't think so. Levi's? I don't know.
I only have one. Anytime someone asks if they're Bugle Boys, my immediate reaction is to quote Trick Daddy. But
two, his pants are insanely comfortable. Three, this shirt is awkwardly long, so untucked it goes too far down. So I had to tuck it in.
Right. No,
I think wore a belt.
I think you look great.
Thank you. You've
got a polo shirt tucked into some nice
And it was cold.
Khakis and
I'd look like an idiot wearing.
Plus we're here
shorts.
At Atlanta United. Like you gotta, you know.
Oh yeah, like
you gotta look pro.
We're in public.
Professional.
I'll dress decent tomorrow when we're at Twin Peaks as well.
I think you look really nice.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, question number one. We can start with the quarterbacks, then move on to the head coaches. Who's the best quarterback remaining in the playoffs?
Patrick Mahomes.
Are we talking about the NFL?
Yes. And if it's too easily the combo of Mahomes at quarterback and Reed at head coach, we can take them aside.
Okay.
We want to use the other
three. Because it is. I mean,
yeah.
Then let's skip those two.
Okay.
Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen, are those three? Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I think the next group in the head coaches, again, if we remove Andy Reid, is more interesting.
Okay.
Dan Quinn, Nick Sirianni, or Sean McDermott?
Now, that's a good question.
That's a good one.
Yep. Who do you think is the best coach of those three remaining coaches?
I'll go Sean McDermott. I think Sean's a really good damn coach.
Sirianni's kind of had the same success Quinn's had, right? Been to a championship, won it. Been to a Super Bowl, lost it. Back in the championship weekend, right?
He's also just on the hot seat all the time for some reason.
Yeah.
Is he on the hot seat or we assuming he's on the hot seat?
I think
it's Philly too.
A little bit.
Yep.
I'll go McDermott. I think they've had
follow-up question.
They've had a lot of success there in Buffalo, and again, you lose to Mahomes in the playoffs every year. Can't really blame him for that.
Follow-up question in regards to McDermott. Does he get the credit he deserves because Josh Allen covers that up?
No, he's a damn good coach. He's a damn good football coach, man. He really now he got on my bad side that one time when he bent, is he the one? No, I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of New York. I'm thinking of the benching of Eli Manning.
Dayball?
Yeah. Remember they benched Eli Manning for old Peterman?
Well, no, that was in Buffalo, wasn't it?
Was it?
Eli didn't get benched for him. Tyrod did.
Tyrod did.
But I don't think that was him.
It was some.
It might have been.
It was something McDermott did. And I was like, he don't deserve to go to the player. It was something. I can't remember what it was.
They benched Tyrod at the end of the year to put in.
That's what it was, Tyrod.
Peterman.
Yeah, it was a Tyrod
five
thing. Yeah, it was a Tyrod. It had something to do with Tyrod. He benched Tyrod for something.
Wasn't Peterman technically a Falcon at some point this year? Didn't they sign him the practice squad or something like that?
They might have.
Nathan Peterman.
If it's Chiefs-Eagles in the Super Bowl, who's Jason Kelce rooting for?
Oh, man. The Eagles.
Eagles.
Yeah. The Eagles.
No brotherly love?
I don't think so.
I think the
brotherly love goes to the city of brotherly love, and I think he roots for the team. I think he roots for the team he plays for.
I think he goes with the Eagles, but I think he's in the suite.
He'll
be in the suite with the
– Well, he was in the suite last year, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he? Drunk, shirtless?
Drunk as hell.
Yeah, but
– But, yeah.
Who was
and
in still it
hadn't
year?
He still hadn't retired yet.
Who was in it last year?
The
Chiefs and the
So he wasn't the Eagles, right?
Who did the Chiefs beat
last
year?
Who
did the Chiefs beat last year?
Beat somebody in the Super Bowl.
49ers.
The San Francisco 49ers. That's right. Peterman was a Falcon this year.
So he didn't have to decide. He didn't have to decide between rooting for his brother.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Gosh, that is a tough question. But I think you root for the team that you played for.
Yes.
And the guy, because it's all the same guys, right?
How do you sit in that suite then? Because I understand that they would know and understand why you would be rooting for the Eagles, but that's a full on 19 people are rooting for the Chiefs and one person in a 20 person suite.
Well, he'll be happy if the Chiefs win because his brother's on the Chiefs.
But he can't show that?
I don't know. It's a tough spot. Tough spot to be in. But I think he'll manage it. He's a pro. Maybe he has to work. Who's got the rights for the Super Bowl this year?
I think it's Fox.
Okay.
Tom Brady's calling it.
It is. Okay, so it's Fox. All right. Well, all right. Never mind.
Should playoff production and performance be factored into MVP voting?
No.
Not in the NFL.
No.
Not in the NFL.
In a different sport?
I think in the NBA it should be.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because of the emphasis on the playoffs.
People take half a season off, just kind of roll into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, and they would never do that because that would be just flat out admitting that the regular season doesn't count matter.
Right.
But I just think, I don't know. I mean, we can split it up and give it to different guys every year if we want, but there's been an obvious MVP in the NBA pretty much every year for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You should have given it to Michael Jordan every year for 15 years. You should have given it to LeBron James every year for 10 years or whatever, and it should be Jokic every year right now.
But they don't do that.
But they don't. Yeah, you get tired of it, and you want to give it to other people, and that's fine. But I think in the NBA it should factor in, but no, not in the NFL. In the NFL, because some of these guys, you play one game in the playoffs.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Which 2024 rookie is most likely to be the best at their position within 3 years?
Guys that are going to be rookies or just were?
Rookies that were this past
season.
Oh,
okay.
Some suggestions, although you could go elsewhere.
Michael Penix.
Better be.
I had
only
Jaden Daniels
answer.
Of the quarterbacks.
Better be.
Jared Verse, Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, someone else.
Brock Bowers is probably the best tight end in the NFL already.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is maybe a top 20 player.
He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I mean, if he stays healthy, he's going to camp.
If Brock Bowers stays healthy, these numbers he put up this past year are going to be every year.
That's going to be every year.
Yes.
Because imagine when he plays with an actual quarterback. Now, they might get other people on the offense that they have to throw it to also at some point, or a running back that they have to hand it to as well. He was literally the only person that they could give the ball to.
Yep.
Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers, for real.
Brock Bowers
and for the most part, stayed healthy. For the most
part. He did.
Yeah,
no doubt. No, I think, probably. But can my answer be Penix, though, anyway?
He's part of someone else. Why not?
Yeah. Let Penix be the best rookie in the NFL, or the 3 years from now, the guy that was drafted.
I'm sorry, Abe.
He looks good. What are people tweeting about it?
I didn't know. No. I just wanted to know if he had Bugle Boy. That was it. That was it. Because they look like them old school Bugle. You don't want to say he had cargo pants. At least I didn't say that.
It's accurate.
I know, but
I just gave an accurate description of his outfit. I didn't give an opinion.
By the way,
it's the way you said it.
Damn right it is. I was just setting you up. I was throwing you the lob, man. It's going to be funnier if you said it than if I did. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL, though, huddle. Are those Bugle Boy pants? Do you want to respond with the way Trick Daddy responds when he was asked if he had Bugle Boy jeans on, right?
Hell no, they polo.
No, they polo. Are those polo?
Unlikely.
All right, we'll come back and get to an NFL, no huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.